This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
There goes Dancing Man.
Jay James, dancing by the window. He always makes me laugh. How are you, Brian? Happy Tuesday. Brian
Happy
Wheeler.
Happy Tuesday.
Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org.
I could use a good piece of pie right about now.
Indeed. Well, where do you now? Where would you go?
I had pizza driving home, for lunch.
You did? Where'd you get the pizza?
I went to Vita Nova.
Never heard of it.
That's the old Christians, the old Sylvia's.
Oh, yeah, you got to go back now.
The old
now I know
which
what you're
became Sylvia's,
about.
Which is now Vita Nova.
Yeah, that's the part of the mall that burned. One of the two places on the mall
what do you
that
mean,
burned.
Burned.
That's why it looks so different. It burned.
When was that?
It burned down. Oh, when did that burn down?
You historian, always pulling out these facts.
Yeah, it was a while ago. But it was a while ago. But that's why that building looks so different from the ones around it, because it burned down. But that's got, it was, we remember when it was Sylvia's,
yep.
Which was at one of the first big gourmet pizza places in town.
Right.
It's the first place I ever went to where they put chicken on the pizza.
Oh, yeah. I had Thai chicken today.
Yeah. Wow. That's good, isn't it?
Love that Thai chicken.
Oh. And then it became Christian's. The guy who worked there bought it, changed it to Christian's. And then, or did he sell it?
Christian's. Yeah, then he sold it.
He sold Sylvia's.
Right.
Yeah.
And then created Christian's.
Yeah, and then I think he had a no-compete because he sort of just laid low for a couple of years, and then he came back with his own place, his own pizza place, Christian's.
And how many places is Christian's now?
It's got three, right?
Three.
Yeah, where are they? On the corner?
Pantops.
It's the one I usually go to. There's one in Pantops?
I think so.
Really?
Pantops, and then there's the corner
and
downtown.
And downtown right across from the Hook.
Yeah.
Yeah, right next to the movie theater. That's good stuff, man. That pizza's
anyway, so
good.
Anyway, that was my pie for today, but what were you asking me about the real kind of pie?
Where would you go? Like, where would you go? Where does Brian Wheeler go? He's driving home. He wants to stop and get some pie and take it home and surprise the wife and kids. And Daddy, you brought some pie home. Where would you stop?
Well, there is no place directly on the way home. If I had to go somewhere, I'd probably go to Chandler's.
Oh.
Up in Albemarle Square.
Yeah, but you don't drive 29 North to go home.
No.
Thank goodness.
Then I'd
I remember
to,
doing that.
I could go to Crossroads Country Store down in North Garden on 29 South.
Yeah, but you don't want to drive all the way down
but
there.
I don't want to go all the way down there. And then I could go to Crozet or Scottsville. But yeah, you're right, Coy. Between here and Ivy,
yeah.
I don't know of a good homemade
pie store. The
Western
route. Would you go to Foods?
Foods of All Nations.
Foods perhaps. Of All Nations. You could stop there.
Yeah.
Because they make their own pies.
Yeah.
And that's good. You could go to the Harris Teeter, what I call the HT. At the BR?
Yeah, do they make
them there? At Barracks Road? They make pies that are pretty good. Yeah.
Are you sure they make them?
They make them there, don't they? Yeah, they got a bakery there.
All right, we'll have to
they put them in those big boxes, and some of them are like really big pies. So Halloween's coming up and Thanksgiving, so it's the pie season that we are approaching. I need to get Mary Jean Jaggers to make me that pie she makes. What was that again?
That was her butterscotch pecan extravaganza
God,
pie.
That was incredible.
And I think she put that recipe up on the cvillepiefest.com website.
Oh.
So people who want to try butterscotch pie.
That is hands down the best pie I've ever had.
That was good.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to get her to make me one.
So I heard, speaking of pies, a lot of people were up at Carter's Mountain on Sunday. It was a beautiful day to be up there.
Yeah.
People were picking apples and things for, you know, to make their own pies.
Yeah. Nice.
I was watching Facebook and I saw person after person posting pictures from atop Carter's Mountain.
Well, it's that time of year when you want to head up to the mountains.
So I think they were busy.
A Charlottesville tradition.
It's a good place to go before the leaves all drop.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun up there. It is. It's a good time. The kids love it. We gotta get up there. So what are you working on? What's going on?
Well, let's see. We're working on a big thing called Places 29, Coy.
They
ever,
still talking about
ever
that?
Ever heard of that?
I have. We've been talking about that for years.
Four years, as a
Now, for
of
the
fact.
Folks who just moved here from Des Moines, remind us what that is. It's a 29. There's a road named 29, isn't it?
There is a road named 29.
There's places on 29.
And, you know, a lot of people point to 29 as one of the things they like least about Charlottesville. I mean, I think that's a fair statement.
Why?
If you ask people, what do you love about Charlottesville, they say UVA, the corner, downtown mall. What do you hate about Charlottesville? They say traffic and 29 North.
I don't mind it at all. I grew up in Fairfax County, man. This ain't traffic.
It's not. But people's expectations about traffic get readjusted.
I guess so.
I heard a realtor the other day.
I don't think it's bad at all.
A realtor the other day said that he often gets clients from Northern Virginia or some other metropolitan area.
Yeah.
And they come down here and they're like, you know, just pick a house, you know, anywhere 45 minutes from the city. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that realtor's thinking, I'm going to get to sell them two houses. Because as soon as they get here, they're not going to like that house being so far away.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people move here and will live like down at Lake Monticello.
Yeah, we did
I've heard that a lot. And then they realize, gosh, I'm so far from, you know, the center of things. And then they end up moving into town.
Gene and I did that. We, in our first house, it was in Fluvanna in Troy. And, you know, we kept moving further and further out to find something more and more affordable.
Yeah.
And the realtor said, you know, as soon as you guys have kids, you're going to want to move right back in to Charlottesville or Albemarle.
Absolutely.
And she was right.
Yeah, that's what happens. Well, anyway. My brother's got a big place up in Greene County, and they're moving into town because his daughter's now getting to the point now where you're just constantly ferrying her back and forth to music lessons and plays and practice.
One of the reasons, you know, people do choose not to live in this area because of the cost of living in Charlottesville and Albemarle, the price of homes. And so people do end up living outside in a broader region. And that, as a result, puts a lot of people on the road commuting. And so Places 29 is one of the community's planning efforts to set a vision for the future for the 29 North Corridor. So that's everywhere from the city line at the hydraulic light interchange on Route 29.
Yep.
From that light forward north is Albemarle County on the left side, and then on both sides once you get a little further north. So from there to basically the Greene County line, there's a growth area that extends up 29 North. Albemarle County, as you know, Coy, has been doing these master plans for places like Crozet.
I do know.
For the village of Ravana out of Glenmore, for the Pantops area, and the next one is Places 29. However, this one they've been working on for 4 years. And tonight is the public hearing in front of the Albemarle County Planning
Commission. Is this the first
one? It's the first public hearing on the whole enchilada. They've had lots of opportunities for public input over the past 4 years. So there have been, at every work session, they have taken public comment, and they've gotten a lot. And I talked to the staff there today, and, you know, I talked to Marcia Joseph, one of the planning commissioners, and she said, Brian, I think we've done everything possible to get public input on this up until, you know, tonight.
Throughout the process. Yeah.
They've had charrettes. They've had stakeholder meetings with business groups. They've had opportunities at work sessions. And so in her opinion, and that was backed up by the staff who've been coordinating all those meetings, they felt like they've done a lot of public outreach. But now it's decision time. And this is the last point in this phase where the public can weigh in. So the public hearing is at 6 o'clock tonight at the Albemarle County Office Building in Lane Auditorium.
The big room.
Anybody can show up and you'll get 3 minutes in front of the Planning Commission to weigh in on specifics of the plan or just to tell them, you know, what are your priorities for planning in 29 North.
So this is the first time in 4 years where the county's going to say, okay, here's Places 29. What do you think? So it's going to be crowded, you think?
Well, they've been saying it throughout. As each chapter has been finished, they've said, here's where we are to this point. Give us feedback. Okay, we've made some changes. Now here's another chapter. Here's where we are. Give us feedback. And so, but this is the first time when all the chapters have been laid out end to end. If you go to albemarle.org, that's the county website. You can find this information. You can also Google Places 29, make that all one word, Places 29. And you will find immediately the Albemarle County website. But all this information's online. They've made it available. And tonight's the opportunity for the public to give more feedback. And I expect a lot of business leaders will be there. The Free Enterprise Forum and the Chamber of Commerce both have been trying to get the business community to come out and express their opinions about what they view as the main street of Albemarle County.
So Neil Williamson might be there tonight saying he doesn't like overpasses.
He will definitely be there. I interviewed him earlier today because he put up a rather spicy blog post yesterday on the Free Enterprise Forum website.
Oh, I missed it. I got to read it.
It was a doozy. And
what did he say?
Well, the headline of it is Places 29 Boondoggle, Lessons Learned. So from this one observer who's been to almost every one of these meetings, I imagine, Neil is at the point where he thinks it's a boondoggle. And by that, he means that he doesn't think, in retrospect, he's saying the county never should have tried to marry land use and transportation planning in one effort. Now, when you hear that,
Isn't that what planners are doing these days?
That is exactly what planners are doing these days. However, you know, Neil Williamson said his concern about it is that if they're not going to if you're going to do transportation planning, you ought to be constricted by time and money. And his critique of this is there are a whole lot of ideas in the Places 29 plan for parallel roads, for grade separation, that there's no money identified to fund these things. And no, in his mind, realistic expectation that they will actually be built and implemented and funded during the 20 years. So he says, if you don't have a plan that's realistic, why plan? And he said the other thing, the key point for him was there needed to be more input on the transportation side from a broader region than just Charlottesville and Albemarle. He said what you're perpetuating by doing it this way is that Charlottesville and Albemarle view themselves as a little island in Virginia that can plan whatever it wants to, and the rest of the 29 corridor, you know, you can tough it out.
Yeah.
So that's the perspective I think Neil Williamson will bring to the hearing tonight, that this was a boondoggle, it's over budget in the planning cost, and it's a plan that can't realistically be implemented.
I don't understand something. How would it be over budget if you're a county government and you have planners that work for you on staff and you assign them this project? How does it get to be over budget then?
Well,
you see what I mean?
They totaled up $1.6 million, and what Mr. Williamson told me was that the original cost estimate, I think, was around $1.4 million. So we're not talking about a lot of money, but it's a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Yeah.
But that's the amount of staff time and consultant time, $1.6 million.
Oh, they pay consultants for it, for this work. Oh, yep. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So not most of it is consultant work. $900,000 of that was to one consultant, and $600,000 of that was paid for by VDOT. And I think that's an important point. You said, isn't land use and transportation planning going together what everyone's doing? In fact, that's what VDOT has been encouraging in this process, and they've been putting their own money on the
table. That's how you plan these days.
So VDOT was intimately involved in Places 29. They helped come up with the traffic modeling, the data, and help shape the final recommendations, which notably exclude a Western bypass. And that's one of the concerns of the business community. The other concern of the business community is disruption around the grade separation, both in loss of property, but also disruption during construction.
Yeah.
If you try to elevate these crossover roads like Hydraulic and Rio above 29, which would be lowered and create more what they call an expressway. So,
because the business community likes the traffic because it's good for business, right?
I would say the business community speaks in two ways about that. They say we want a bypass to route traffic around Charlottesville that doesn't want to be here.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
But the people that do want to be in Charlottesville, we want them to more easily get to our businesses. And we think grade separation and construction for many years will make that problematic. The planners,
but they didn't fight the widening of 29, did they?
Well, I don't remember if they did or not.
That was construction for a long time. You know, for most of the years that I've been here, they've been expanding 29, lots of construction, lots of disruption. I didn't think they fought that.
Well, and I guess you forget those pains quickly once you have less congestion. Certainly the widening of 29, this is the widest segment of Route 29 in Virginia when it's at its widest point in Charlottesville and Albemarle County. However, there are certain parts that still need to be widened, but nobody is talking about widening it beyond its widest point right now. So what instead they're proposing are parallel roads, perpendicular roads that connect these parallel roads better.
Yeah.
That's a word, to 29, and grade separation. So from the point of view of the planners, Coy, what they told me today was Places 29 is all about making business better, improving economic vitality, because in their mind, they're going to make it easier for people to get to these businesses. Now, it may not be the way you get to them today. It may be
instead you
come around a parallel road and you come in the back way.
Yeah.
I asked Judy Wiegand, the planner on this project, you know, give me an example of a place where that works and people like it. And she said the Kroger up on 29 North near the Lowe's. She said they've gotten a lot of feedback that people like going in via Berkmar.
I only go in via Berkmar.
To get to Kroger because they don't
the way
like
I go,
dealing with 29.
That's the only way I drive to
Lowe's. So there's an example of where you have an existing business and in the mind of the planners, they're trying to make it easier for people to get there by extending Berkmar Road all the way up to Hollymead Town Center.
Yeah, yeah.
And extending Hillsdale Drive on the east side of 29. So those are, that's some of the
yesterday I was coming down 29. Was it yesterday? No, was it the day before? I can't remember. The day before it might have been. There was an accident on 29 right before you got to the Rio. I saw it ahead, and I saw all the traffic, so I quickly took a right right in front of Lowe's. I went up to Berkmar. I followed Berkmar all the way down to the Starbucks in front of the mall. Turned right, totally missed it. There was just traffic tie-up everywhere. It was nasty, but it was the parallel road, Brian. It was that parallel road network that I was able to get around that. I'm also not opposed, and you know this, I'm not opposed at all to those overpasses. I can't pay for them, but I don't see how you have a future in Charlottesville without those overpasses over 29 at Hydraulic and Rio, for example. I mean, think about it. 20, 40 years from now, they're going to be there.
Well, when we come back, we ought to talk about some of the candidate positions on these very questions that we've been talking about, because they've been asked repeatedly at various candidate forums. What do you think about Places 29? And then we also have the 29 corridor study that VDOT did, which was a little bit out of sync with what their other staff were doing on the Places 29 process. So we need to reconcile those
two
visions.
Somebody screwed up there.
And we can talk a little bit about that.
Let's do it. We'll also talk about local politics coming up. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
Everybody get on your feet.
I'm Coy Barefoot. We do it every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Thanks for joining me. Happy Tuesday. It's 57 degrees.
Can't be beat. We barefootin'.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SevilleTomorrow.org. You can also check out Sevillepedia. Is it Sevillepedia.org?
Yes, it is.
As we were just doing. We were also talking about Mad Men during the break.
We caught up on all our TV.
We're both Mad Men fans. You're watching, I just finished watching Band of Brothers on DVD. I bought it. Love it. Fantastic. You know what Leon told me today? They're making a Band of Brothers for the Pacific. Did you know this? It comes out in March. March of 2010, they'll follow these Marines through all the major battles of the Pacific. And the same people are doing it, Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. That's going to be good.
That'll be real good.
So we're big Mad Men fans, the both of us.
We are.
Yeah.
My wife thinks it's soap opera for men.
It is. And I like it. I like it. That's a good show.
She refuses to watch it.
It's a great show.
I have to wait for Gene to fall asleep, and then I hit the DVR and...
And I watch it on, I buy it on iTunes. I don't even have TV, so I watch it online. It's good. I like it. And
I just know I'm not alone.
I'm calling it now.
So many awards.
Oh, yeah. Emmys here and there. You heard it here first. I think Peggy's husband is going to get killed in Vietnam. The doctor, he just enlisted. He's going to Vietnam. He's going to get killed.
My dad.
I'm calling that now.
I think I'm fixated on this because my dad used to work in an office just like that.
Really?
Where it was a line of offices and then a secretary out sitting in front of every office.
Was he an ad guy?
He was a sales guy for General Foods.
Ah.
So he was selling Maxwell House coffee and Jell-O. But I just remember, you know, as a kid going in and visiting the office and I just would play with the office machines and have a great time. But I just...
Was it Libby down in Atlanta? Was that where...
It was in Doraville, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Doraville.
Okay. Because my grandfather was a food guy, too, down in Atlanta.
General Foods got bought by Kraft, I think.
Did they? Which got bought by cigarettes.
Philip Morris?
Yeah, didn't they buy Kraft?
I don't know. That's what Wikipedia is for, Quinn.
Brian Wheeler, the website is SevilleTomorrow.org. What's the latest?
So we were talking about Places 29.
Yes, tonight is the big night.
And the public hearing starts in about 18 minutes, and I will be there, so I'm going to have to leave a little early.
Yep.
But
go in and sign in, get your 3 minutes. Places 29.
I was sharing the business perspective on some of the concerns they've had about Places 29, but the planning commissioners that I talked to and the staff, you know, they think this thing is ready to move on to the Board of Supervisors and have them, and there will be other public hearings in the future in front of the Board of Supervisors, but, you know, their opinion on the funding challenges, how do we pay for this? They see that as something, you know, to be worked out in the future, whether it's by the board picking from a menu of different potential tax options like a community development authority or some other special taxing district that you might put in place, that something that the General Assembly has said is okay, you know, for Albemarle County to do. We know there are many things they have said we cannot do, like raise a sales tax to pay for transportation.
Well, there's another motivation for people like Neil Williamson to oppose a future plan of overpasses because they could want a special tax in that business area to fund those overpasses.
Oh, that is definitely a concern Neil has. But the planning staff pointed out to me that no one funding option has been picked yet.
Yeah.
So that decision really hasn't been made. They'll certainly take feedback about that, but it's presented more as a menu of options. The thing they're saying, Coy, is that it doesn't, in the mind of Judy Wiegand, the planner working on this, she said, you know, you have to have a vision. You know, even though we don't know how we're going to fund it, if we don't know where we're going, how will we make incremental decisions about developments that come along in that corridor, whether it's a rezoning request or some redevelopment idea? How will we decide what contribution we need from a developer to help pay for the infrastructure
if
we don't have a vision for this?
You can't just plan for what you can afford. Otherwise, how could Neil support the Western Bypass?
Well, that we couldn't pay for either right now.
So don't plan that?
Dennis Rooker, who's running for re-election unopposed, Mr. Rooker describes this as the cover on the puzzle box. You know, you could have individual puzzle pieces and try to figure it out as you went along, but it's helpful if you have a vision for what the puzzle is going to end up looking like.
Yeah,
so you know where to place these things.
Interesting. Place is 29 tonight at the Albemarle County Office Building in Lane Auditorium, the big public hearing. And Steve-O, tomorrow we'll have the complete audio from that.
We will. And there will also be a story, I expect, in tomorrow's Daily Progress that I will probably be involved with. So that should be in tomorrow's paper, a full report on what happens tonight. And if you want to know where the candidates stand, I would draw your attention to the Charlottesville Tomorrow Election Watch 2009 resources, because we have asked each of the candidates running for the county board what they are looking for if they get elected. And this plan comes to them as a member of the Board of Supervisors next year. We ask them, you know, what key ingredients need to be there. And there are different opinions about it, whether it's, integrating land use and transportation planning, favored by Dennis Rooker, or, you know, having grade separation or not having grade separation. So you can go get all of those resources in our voter guide. And if you're voting in those elections, that voter guide will be coming to your mailbox this week.
There you go.
Speaking of the election, we had some big endorsements.
This was huge.
The Daily Progress, and I was not involved in these endorsements, but the Daily Progress made its endorsements for the Board of Supervisors. They endorsed David Slutsky, the Democrat running for re-election in the Rio District.
Which was surprising, because they tend to go for the more conservative candidates.
So, yeah, for Dave Slutsky, they said, they agreed he was very controversial. They agreed he is, quote, make some false steps. But they said, you know, sometimes he's willing to lead where few are ready to follow. They said he's a courageous man and a brilliant thinker. They also said it was one of the toughest election decisions the newspaper has ever had to face.
Ooh!
In choosing between Rodney Thomas, the Republican challenger, and David Slutsky, the Democrat running for the Rio District.
That's got to be tough, though, for the Progress to endorse Rodney Thomas, even though politically they might want to, because they tend to go for the more conservative candidates. But it's got to be tough because the Daily Progress is the one that published that interview with Rodney Thomas a few weeks ago, where he said some things that he might not wish he had said.
They did not get into that in the editorial, and that's up on the Progress website for you to read if you want to check it out. In the Samuel Miller race, they endorsed the independent over the Democrat and the Republican. They endorsed John Lowry in the Samuel Miller district. They're, of course, running. Three candidates are running to replace Sally Thomas, who is retiring. And John Lowry is the independent. They felt his approach to economic development, where he is recommending setting up an economic development office specifically, was a good idea and something that his measured and thoughtful approach, they said, would be appropriate to have on the board.
That's huge that they would endorse an independent candidate. I wonder how often that's happened with the Progress.
Well, of course, we have, you know, on the board right now, we have Dennis Rooker, who's an independent. They did not make an endorsement in that race because they didn't need to. Sally Thomas was an independent.
He was a write-in candidate originally.
Originally as a write-in candidate. Yeah. Yep. So those are the two endorsements in local elections that have come out thus far. I expect city council endorsements will be coming soon.
Now, that Samuel Miller district, if Lowry, Madison Cummings.
Madison Cummings is the Democrat.
And Dwayne Snow.
And Cummings was formerly on the school board. He's running for his first chance at the Board of Supervisors. Dwayne Snow, formerly on the County Architectural Review Board. And Dwayne Snow is running as the Republican.
And Lowry is more conservative than Madison Cummings, so it looks like the conservative vote might split between Snow and Lowry, which would benefit Madison Cummings.
I mean, I think both of these races in Samuel Miller and Ryo are going to be very close.
Yeah.
And the three-way race in Samuel Miller certainly is a wild card. And, you know, a lot of people thought Lowry would get convinced to pull out of the race, you know, a long time ago, and he didn't, and he stuck to it. And he's been participating fully in all of these candidate forums. And so Lowry is the independent. You know, he is going to pull votes from one of the two-party candidates.
Yeah.
And
more likely to pull votes from Duane Snow than Madison Cummings, though.
And Samuel Miller has been a strong Democratic district. So it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, and Madison Cummings was the district chair for the Democrats in Samuel Miller. So he's well-known in the Democratic community. For all of these candidates, the big question is, will your people come out to vote? And in the local races, that's where door-to-door, as we talked about last week.
Yeah,
that's why door-to-door is so important.
Absolutely.
And I think
critical,
the Slutsky-Thomas race will be very close as well.
Yeah.
So voter turnout is going to be a huge factor.
It's going to be a fun night. And we're going to be broadcasting here a special program on election night 1 week from today. WINA's special election return coverage starts at 7 p.m. right here. And we'll get you the numbers first, so tune in.
We've got some other interesting stories up on our website, which I would encourage people to check out. One relates to a lot of new development around the UVA hospital. We were at a city planning commission meeting where David Newman, the architect for UVA, presented his grand plan, the current iteration of that grand plan for the medical center complex. And I'll tell you, here's a little map of it, Coy. It's, you know, I was thinking back when I first moved here, and how small that hospital complex was at the time, because I think it was just the old hospital.
Are these yellow things on the map new buildings?
The yellow ones are new things.
Holy moly!
Coming along.
Wow.
And you can find that map on cvilletomorrow.org. You know, of course, the Emily Kirk Cancer Center is coming out of the ground and has a roof on it already. That was where an old parking garage was that was torn down across from the new hospital, the big white hospital. On the White Hospital, the new hospital, they still call it the new hospital, they're putting that addition right on the front.
Yeah,
and
I saw
that's to add more patient beds and a 7-story.
So they're getting rid of all those big balconies that used to be out
that's
there.
That's right. So those are two of the big things there. Of course, they've already put in that big parking garage you can see from West Main Street.
The North Garage.
The North Garage.
Which is where you're supposed to park if you're not a patient.
And
did you know that?
I did not, but I'm always a patient when I'm there.
Yeah.
Well, which fortunately is not very often.
Like if you're visiting
somebody? I'm visiting a patient.
Yeah, you're still supposed to park over
there.
Oh,
you are?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think. I'm not quite sure.
Anyway, they are going to connect that garage via a pedestrian tube tunnel.
I think it is.
All the way. So you'll be able to go all the way to the old hospital.
Oh, wow.
Another project, the Claude Moore Medical Education Building, that'll be ready in 2010. The Kirk Cancer Center and the tower expansion on the main hospital, 2011. So those things are both moving along. What got the Planning Commission very excited in the city were all the green space recommendations, the number of trees that the hospital wants to plant, and that they really want to make it a more welcoming campus-like environment throughout this whole medical center complex.
Interesting.
And because they've got people, you know, moving back and forth, not only employees, but a lot of people visiting the community in tough circumstances because they have family members and loved ones in the hospital, and they want to make that as an enjoyable environment.
We've all been there. I've had some very sad trips over there.
That's a story you might check out. And
good stuff. There it is.
Appreciate you having me today.
Online, absolutely. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Joins us every Tuesday afternoon to update us about growth, development, and local politics. He's headed over to the Albemarle County Office Building right now for the big public hearing tonight about the future of 29 North. And you can join him there. Everybody gets 3 minutes if you want it. Just sign up. The event is taking place in Lane Auditorium. And is this before the Planning Commission or before the Board of Supervisors?
The Planning Commission. So right now it's a public hearing at the Planning Commission. Depending on what they do tonight, they'll either send it to the board or they'll send it back to staff for more work to be done.
Yeah.
And then
so this is the official unveiling of Places 29 after 4 years of work is tonight.
That's
there
right.
You go. So I'm certain we'll be talking about that next week. Let's take a break. Thank you, Brian.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.